Psalms chapter 63 this afternoon. While you're finding your place, and brother, I don't want to get too loud. It sounds like I'm too loud, so I don't know, okay? Psalms chapter 63, before I begin reading, I want to say thanks to Brother Ken for asking me to share with you tonight the Word of God. Thank you, church, for housing Brother Jody and myself for the last 3 or 4 days. We've just had a time. Amen. Thanks for all the food that's been served. Brother Felton, I don't know where he is, and others. I know he's here. I seen him. There he is. He cooked all day yesterday, and we've eaten all night and all day today. So thank you so very much for your kindness and your hospitality. And much more that I could say, but we'll let that be. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry land, or in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. And keep that in mind. We'll come back to that. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life. Wow. And my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied. Oh, Lord God, I like that. As with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed, and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, oh, Lord God. Because Thou hast been my help, my Lord Jesus, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee, and Thy right hand upholdeth me. Father, bless the reading and the preaching of Your Word tonight. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. In verse 2, we'll be dealing with all of these verses. But in verse 2, just these things come out at me and I want to use for a subject. Because he says, to see Thy power and Thy glory. So as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. It seems to me like that David couldn't get over whatever it was he seen in the sanctuary. Oh Lord, have mercy. Some of us here tonight, we just can't get over some things that we have seen and felt and heard in our life. Matter of fact, there's some things I just don't want to get over. Amen. And there's some things I'm just going to try my best not to get over. Amen. So I want to share with you tonight just a few thoughts from this subject. Some things we can't get over. David said there was some things, it seems to me like that's what he said in verse 2. And if you study the Bible, wherever God showed up, some people around just couldn't get over the thing of God being on the scene. It's one thing to have a meeting, amen. It's another thing to have a meeting with God showing up, amen. Can you imagine Adam and Eve in the garden? After they sinned, God came walking in there and talking to them. Amen. They never got over that. Imagine Abraham's encounter with God. Abraham never got over it. Oh no. The day he died, he was still looking for that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. And once we taste of God's holy things, and once we taste of God, we always long, my friend, for even more of the things of God. I think of Moses. And how that he reacted when he was confronted with God at the burning bush. And at the Red Sea. I mean, every way he turned, there was God. Amen. Now, if we're God conscious, let me tell you this. Every way we turn, there's God. Listen, if you're here tonight and you think you can run from God, listen, I challenge that. Wherever you run, God's already there. Amen. You can't get away from Him. Amen. Then I think about the day that when Jesus must go through Samaria, John chapter 4, He knew there was somebody going to come by in just a little bit. That needed a gift like she had never received before. Oh Lord God! He sat down upon the well and here she came. I was going to preach on this subject and the Lord wouldn't let me. Well, I won't even tell you what it is. But anyway, then we see Paul, the great apostle who wrote much of the New Testament, the epistles. He could not get over that day that Christ met him on the road to Damascus. Wherever he went, he had to share this story, hallelujah to God. Now, I'm not Paul and you're not Paul. But some of you are like me. I've heard it today and I've heard it yesterday. Hallelujah to God. Wherever we go, we gotta tell the story, amen. Ours may be a little different than somebody else's. But an encounter with God is an encounter with God, amen. When you have an encounter with God, you just stand in wonder. You can't explain it. Our hearts is filled with affection for Him and awe and wonder. When you meet God, the God of heaven and earth, to me, it's breathtaking, hallelujah. It's something that we've never experienced before. And my brother, my sister, I look at this. He's the greatest treasure. Whatever it costs, amen, in the human sense of the word. We're not talking about buying salvation now. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You can't buy that which He gives. But my dear friend, it's an amazing thing. Once after God, man has an encounter with God. Most of the time he's ready to give up all he's got, my dear friend, to get what he already has, and that's Jesus, amen. I want to mention three things tonight. David couldn't get over, my dear friend, these things because, number one, of the person of God. He's seen something, not with a natural eye. Because with a natural eye, we cannot see the things of God, the spiritual things. He says in verse 2, to see thy power, thy strength, in other words, and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, through spiritual eyes, David seen God, amen. Through our spiritual eyes, not fleshly eyes. And guess what? We see God in the person of Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Listen, we cannot see Him with the natural eye. But oh my God, we can see God doing things in people's lives. And that we know that only God can do that. Amen. And my brother, my sister, he could not get over the person of God. Now there's four reasons why he couldn't get over the person of God. Before I give you these four, I want you to look, if you will, in chapter 62. I wasn't going to do this, but this sort of confirms what I'm saying here. In verse 6, He, that's talking about God, only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. And I shall not be moved. Hallelujah to God. Look in verse 7. In God is my salvation, my glory. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Amen. Now here's why, four little reasons why David could not get over, my dear friend, the person of God. Number one, God found him. Amen. I was just reading through this afternoon a few things in 1 Samuel. Saul had acted like a fool. He was king at the time. He had offered a burnt sacrifice, and we know, according to the Scripture, he certainly was not supposed to do that. Amen. We know who was supposed to do it. Samuel told Saul, he said, look, your kingdom is not going to go anymore. It's over with. It's not going to continue because of the sin that you've done. And in the meantime of him saying that, I'm about to have a shout and spell. Listen to me. Samuel told Saul, he says, God sought him out a man after his own heart. 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. Read it there tonight when you get home. Samuel didn't go over there yet. But before David ever knew it, before Saul ever sinned, my dear friend, God had already in his mind, in his choice, had already chose David because he knew that David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. So we see David couldn't get over the person of God because God found him. Now I want you to notice something. Lord, have mercy. God told Samuel, he said, go over to Jesse's house. Now when God tells you to go over to Jesse's house, he's up to something. Amen. He said, that's the man after my own heart, one of his sons. So here goes Samuel over to Jesse's house. Seven boys come out. I mean, tall, dark, handsome. I mean, they was good-looking guys. And every one of them, God told Samuel, that's not the one. Samuel said, look how good-looking he is. He said, you know, you don't go by the outwards look, Samuel. So here come the seven boys through the line. Samuel said, hey, is that all you got? He said, no. He said, there's another one. Over on the back 40. Go fetch him. Here he come. And just as soon as he got there, that's the man right there. Samuel didn't know it. Jesse didn't know it. David didn't know it. But my dear friend, way before that, God already found him a man after his own heart. Isn't it good? Amen. When God makes up His mind to go after somebody, He's going to pursue him. He's going to go after him, amen, by His grace. And He'll get whoever He goes after. Hallelujah. I'm glad He came through Denton, North Carolina one day. Not only did He find him, but number two, He favored him. Look, if you will, in verse 3. Where he says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Now when Samuel found David, David showed up. Immediately Samuel anointed David to be king, future king. Amen. Right then. Now, he was anointed 2 times. We all know from the Scripture, but it was there that he did that. God favored him. You see, God favors His people. I want to tell you something. We may think in the eyes of this world that we are the scum of the earth. They may look down upon us and talk about us. Let them do whatever they will. But can I tell you something tonight, child of God? Amen. We may not be highly favored among men, but glory to God, we're highly favored with the Lamb of God. And I'm glad, hallelujah, if He likes me and loves me and takes care of me. Glory to God, that's all that matters. Amen. But not only do we see that he couldn't get over the person of God because God found him and God favored him, but also God forgave him. Amen. You find this all through the Scriptures. You find it in Psalms 51. We won't stay there because I feel like I've already preached a half hour, to you. But then the thing of it is, he couldn't get over the person of God because of his fellowship with him. Now, when the fellowship is sweet, you just don't want to leave. Amen. If the fellowship ain't no good, you want to get out of there. But oh my God, when you think about fellowshipping with the God of the universe that spoke this world and everything in into existence, that today is upholding all things by the word of His power, not a hair from your head has fell today without Him knowing about it. Not a bit of pollen of the dust off of these trees has fallen without God knowing about it. He's an all-knowing God. And can I tell you something, my brother? Having fellowship with Him is absolutely wonderful. You can crawl up into His arms, and glory to God, you never want to leave. It's sweet fellowship with the Lamb of God. Amen. Yesterday, preacher Jody went turkey hunting. And of course, he came in tooting about it. You should have seen his chest. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I was around here with Brother Phelps. Okay. Larry was here. Is Larry here tonight? I don't see Larry. Is he here? Oh, there he is. And Bart and his brother came over and their dad came over. And we just had, we just had a time of fellowship. And to be honest with you, I enjoyed it so much I just didn't even want it to be, broken up and have to go to bed. That's good. But can I tell you something better? Amen. You get in a corner somewheres with Jesus. Amen. And if you're not careful, you'll find out you'll lose what time it is. Amen. You'll come to the conclusion nothing else matters except what I'm doing right now with Him. He's not going to fuss at me. He's not going to judge me. He's not going to condemn me. He's not going to talk bad about me. He's not going to scold me.
I'm not. for the strength of it. Look, if you will, in verse 2 again. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Look over in chapter 62. It's up two or three verses in my Bible here. Notice about the power that he was talking about. God has spoken once, twice, have I heard this, that power belongeth unto the Lord. Amen. So we see he could not get over the power of God that he's seen in the sanctuary. Now I want you to notice something. Remember, this was way before the temple. Well, I won't say way. It was before the temple was built. There had been the existing tabernacle. On the outside, all the silver sockets and all that's made up. And if you want a good book, and I'm not trying to, sell my son's books. I'm not doing that. I have nothing to do with that. I really don't. But if you want a good book on the tabernacle, you need to get one of Brother Jody's books on the tabernacle. It's a very good book. Simple, easy to understand. But you see, it wasn't necessarily the outside. Even though that was important too, God gave all the dimensions and told how everything was to be built. You better be praying for me. But it was what was on the inside. Amen. It was what was on the inside. You couldn't look at those seven pieces of furniture in the tabernacle without knowing all of that. My dear friend, there was somebody greater than man planned all of that. Amen. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and say this. Lord, have mercy to my soul. You're trying to get me to act like a North Carolinian in Georgia, and I don't want to do that. There was the seven golden candlesticks. There was the table of showbread. There was the holies of holies. There was the Ark of the Covenant. There was the mercy seat. And on top of the mercy seat, which were the glory of God, did appear. We all understand that. David could not get over, my dear friend, the power of God that he seen when he went to the sanctuary. Now I want to give you some. In my text, he said, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Psalm 68 in verse 4. We have seen thy, talking about God, thy goings in the sanctuary. Psalm 73 in verse 17. David said, I couldn't understand the wicked things that I see in this world until I went into the sanctuary. And then guess what happened to it? Then he understood, amen. And then in Psalms 96, verse 6, when he looked in the tabernacle, he seen strength and beauty in the sanctuary. Not strength and beauty of mankind, because we have none on ourselves, but the strength and the beauty and the holiness and the righteousness and the glory of a sovereign God, amen. That too we need to see today. Listen. He seen that in the sanctuary. That's public. But there's something else here. He seen the power of God under the shadow of His wings in verse 7. And that's private. Look at verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Now, David seen the power of God in verse 2 in the sanctuary that's covered. I'm tempted to come down from here. But when he's seen him under the shadow of his wings, that's private. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now, I just notice, under the shadow of his wings, if my memory is correct, is mentioned 6 times in the Scripture. 6 being the number, man, this is just my making up of things here. What better place for a man to go? And under the shadow of his
wings.
If you're here tonight and you're lost without God, can I tell you something? Or let's just say that we're saved. As the New Testament says, as a hen gathers her biddies, my dear friend, then so we are to run unto him. He'll cover us and keep us and provide for us, glory to God. But there's something else I want you to see here. As to the power of God. We see the power of God in the sanctuary that's public today. We see the power of God in the shadow of His wings that's private.
Yes.
Now look, if you will, as seen in the secret of His soul that's personal.
Good.
Now look. In verse 1, verse 5, and verse 9. Look in verse 1, please. We're going to pick out a word here because this is personal, David said. Verse 1 says, O thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Notice this now. My soul. Look, if you will, in verse 5. My soul. Notice the verse 8, if you will. My soul. Lord, have mercy to my soul. Verse 9, but they that seek my soul, that's personal.
Yes, sir.
We've seen it public in the sanctuary.
Good.
We've seen it private in the shadow of his wings.
Yeah.
Now that it says it's more personal.
Yes, sir.
It's in my soul.
Amen.
What is this? The inner man. The true principle of life. It's the inner man that perceives, that reflects, that feels, that desires. And we see, as seen into the secret of his soul that's personal, he says, my soul thirsts for thee, O God.
Yes.
Now listen to me. We're all humans. And as God's people, we ought to be concerned with every facet of our entire life. It doesn't mean one thing, the entire everything about us, we ought to be concerned with.
Right.
But the one main thing that God is really concerned about is the inner man.
Yes, sir.
Now, we can clean up the outside. Amen. You ever seen me doing all this a while ago? I don't usually preach like this anywhere but North Carolina, so forgive me. And then after I got all of that stuff on, and then I and all of that. No better. You see, what I did in preparation to get dressed to come to church.
Right.
Outwardly. Has not done me one bit of good. In what God's doing tonight. Hey! That's the preparation of the heart that we do. That's where God is concerned, amen. Before God ever began to work on the outside of it, hey, He had to do something to the inside,
amen.
And that's where God does His work. That's being born again. And so, we see, and that's the power of God that David couldn't get over. But here's one more thing, and I know you're glad. Now, David couldn't get over the person of God because God found him, because God favored him, because God forgave him, and because God had fellowship with him. But he couldn't get over the power of God because of what he's seen in the sanctuary, which is public. Because of what he's seen under the shadow of his wings, that's private. But David couldn't get over of what he's seen in the sanctuary about his soul, that's personal. Now this stuff really did a number on David. And I tell you something, salvation does a number on you. We can try. We can try to fix it. We can do all that we want to try to fix our main problem. But only God can fix that main problem. I quit cussing. Quit chewing, quit dipping, quit cussing.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet 1,000 times. And he's back at it the next minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's something about when God gets on your ship. Amen. So David couldn't get over the power, the person of God and the power of God. But get this. And this may be the most touching thing for me, I don't know about you. David could not get over his passion for God.
Right. Good.
Now think about it. His passion. We all know what passion is. We all know that. David, my dear friend, could not get over his passion for God. Notice, if you will, please, in verse 3. Because thy love and kindness is better than life. Now, do we really get what he's saying there? When David looked at his life and how all that God had done for him and to him and worked with him and through him in every way, even though David made mistakes, we all know that. But it just seems to me like that David said, hey, look, I'd just rather not even live at all if I can't have the love of God down in my throat.
Right.
He said, God, your loving kindness is better than life itself.
Yes, it is.
And I find that, Brother Ken, to be rather interesting. Yes. Notice this now. His passion for God. Notice in verse 1, my soul thirsteth for thee. Notice, if you will, verse 3. Again, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Notice verse 6. David was not only having a time in the daytime, but notice his night life. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches.
Yes.
David had such a passion for God. Even when he'd lay down at night, some of you are the same way. You think that about God, you can't get God off your mind.
Right.
That when he laid down on his bed, he remembered God and praising God and worshiping God laying there. When you get home, do a little study, if you've never done it, on David's night watches. You'll find it interesting. I mean, really, you will. Listen now. David couldn't get over his passion for God. First of all, passion for the heart of God. That's what I just went over. Number 2, he could not get over his passion for the help of God. Notice verse 7. Because thou hast been my help. Amen. Let me ask you something. I don't want to go in my life's history. But I remember some times that I did not know what was going to happen to me. For days and nights and weeks,
Some assurance, amen.
Yeah. And I remember after those weeks and months, I come home from preaching one night. The moon was shining pretty, and oh my God, I was way wrong. I changed from my preaching clothes, put on a pair of tennis shoes, blue jeans, and a little t-shirt. That's my favorite. Tuck My Journey was living there where Brother Juddy was right. Beautiful place. 3 miles from that house to 49 and back. I jogged out in the road that night. Dear God, I tried to preach, fell on my face. Oh God, if you would you just help me? God, I feel like I'm all alone. I jogged on that mile and a half. I still love walking and running. You say almost 70 years old. I don't care if I'm 90, Lord, I got a lot. Went to 49 and come back down. And up there hung the moon. Full moon. I was crying out to God. David said, "My soul thirsteth after thee." And it was as though, after a long period of time, God in His glory came down and filled my soul. There was no more running home. There was no more in a hurry. My help had come to my aid. Now I said that to say this. How long has it been since we have really needed His help? Right. Now, I'm not talking about just a few tough times. I'm talking about when it's been almost the end of your world. It's almost as the rug has been completely pulled out from under you. You feel like nobody in God's world cares anything for you. How long has it been since we've cried out to God? God, will you help me? Amen. And David had this passion, my brother, for the help of God. And we find in the Psalms so many times, my brother, God came to His rescue like He's come to your rescue and your rescue and your rescue. God, He's there, amen. That's my Savior.
Listen, and I'm almost finished. Oh my goodness. He couldn't get over his passion for God, passion for the heart of God, passion for the help of God. But he couldn't get over his passion for the hand of God. I want to read verse 4 and I want to show you something just crossed my mind. Thus will I bless thee while I live, and I will lift up my hands in thy name. But then notice, if you will, in verse 8, thy right hand upholdeth me. I've never seen this before till right now. Get this. He couldn't get over his passion for the hand of God. Church, listen. It seems like in verse 4, David was lifting his hands, my dear friend, in passion for God, and God just reached down with his hand and grabbed David's hand, and there it was.
Amen.
God sees your hand.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to worry.
You're right.
God sees that hand. He sees that need. He sees that hurt. He sees that wound. He sees those things you cannot overcome by yourself. He knows who you are. He knows what we're made out of. He's not someone who doesn't care. He's been touched, bless God, with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. He's been touched, my brother. And He's able to fix that which is broken in our hearts and our lives.
Amen. Good preaching.
the last thing.
His passion for the heart of God, His passion for the help of God, His passion for the hand of God. And here is passion for His hope in God. Verse 4. I will bless thee while I live. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something, Christians, young or old. Don't let this world stop you, my dear friend, from praising God and blessing God. Don't let them throw a raw deal in you. Don't let somebody ambush you. Amen. Don't let somebody play a dirty trick on you. Matter of fact, when you get down to it, we don't have anybody that'll stick with us and able to stick with us through it all. But God is telling you. What should this do for us? I'm going to give them to you. This is it. All start with the same letter. Now, I'm not Preacher Jody. He's excellent with outlines. You can tell I'm not too good. I don't try to be like anybody. Number one, because of some things we can't get over, it should stir us. It should soften us. I wrote these down this evening. It should sweeten us. It should strengthen us. Woo! It should satisfy us. Glory to God. Amen. Listen, my brother and my sister. Everything of this world will disappoint you. You may crave and thirst after it. Eventually, it'll let you down. But glory to God, we are hooked on to someone tonight and to a fountain that never runs dry. David, my brother, said, his cup runneth over. That's wonderful. The woman, my dear friend, had to leave her bucket, my dear friend, and drunk a river of water. When you get to Revelation, it's not a cup, it's not a bucket, my dear friend, it's not a fountain, it's a river, glory to God. That's what we're drinking from
tonight.
Just stand for prayer, please. Lord Jesus, Lord, you're wonderful. Lord, you're just really wonderful. All of us could take all night for the next 100 years and try to tell each other how good you are. And we couldn't begin to touch the hem of the garment. But Lord, many people here tonight are experiencing that goodness and that grace and that love and that mercy. Fill them up, dear God, tonight with your Spirit. I pray, Father, that you will. And if there's one here tonight that's not saved, dear God, may they see their only hope is in the person of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Bless this church, all the members, Brother Ken, family. God, may you continue to glory and honor. This may be the last time that I ever get to come. But if it is, I'm glad there's a better place. There's a brighter place. There's a wonderful place. To where our adventure will be. But our adventure with you will be throughout all. May God's grace